So this is this story, okay? And some of you who are everyone who likes Jewish music, you may recognize a reference here to one of the most famous Jewish songs in Israel, and then recently a remake of it. Saperli Eish Echad means Lantipoli. Anyone been to Lantipoli recently? Lantipoli? Okay. Anyway, it's right next to Kansas City. Shabiyoti Yoshin Rabbeinu, Sephrono Rabbeinu, is Lantipoli. Pa'atas Akaiti, Palel Rabbeinu, Sephrono Rabbeinu, Boke Hashem. Rabbeinu Nachman was in Lantipoli. And it was one summer, and Rabbeinu, he davened there. Certain morning, very early, Vacharka Shalati, Ito, Hayadat, Sara, Tukya, Vikara, Uto, Ubala Rabbeinu, Zabrona Rabba. After he davened, he then called his daughter, he had a daughter, Sara, called her, Va'amarlo Rabbeinu, Zabrona Rabba. Late in the Tayyar, come with me to go on a walk. V'halach imo chutz la'ir, went out of the city. V'halach bein ha'asavim. And he walked in the fields, in the grass. Amar Rabbeinu zechrono l'bracha v'amar. And Rabbi Nachman said the following thing. Im hayita zochet l'shmo et kol ha'shirot v'atashpachot shel ha'asavim. If you could only hear the songs of praise that the grass is singing. Each blade of grass is singing its own song, Hashem, there's nothing to gain from it. They're not expecting any scar for their tefillah. Just purely want to pray to God. Purely want to pray to God just to sing God's praise. They're not getting any reward in the grass. How awesome, how beautiful to hear the shira of the grass. How good it is for them to serve God in fear and awe. Why do I share this with you? Why do I share this very strange story? Which, by the way, the song that is actually was written by Naomi Shemer. Naomi Shemer is a very famous songwriter here in Israel. You may have heard the song Yushalayim, Shal Zahav, or what's the other one? Al Vashi Al Oketz. So she has another song, Dabcha, which is this teaching of Rabbi Nachman. Very, very beautiful song, which another singer here, very famous singer, progressive Hasidic singer, actually recently gave a new version of it, cover of that song. Anyways, why am I sharing with you this story? What aspect, thinking back to our experience we had earlier, if you recall, I asked you, when you pray, you should also say out loud so that the other person can hear. The person you're praying for should hear you. Because there's an aspect of prayer. Prayer is not just about speaking to God and saying the words which we were told we should actually mouth the words. It's another question. A lot of people ask this question about tefillah. Why is it necessary for me to actually say the words? Why do I have to say them? The things that I want, I'm thinking about. God knows exactly what I'm thinking. Why do I have to say the words? Why is it necessary for me to actually vocalize the words? In fact, the Gemara in Brachot, you guys get up to the Daf of Gimel yet? Anybody? Turn it off, guys. Rocco, did Gimel, you got up to there? Not yet. You did. I'm almost there. Okay? So, there Dr. Gimel says that when a person davens, the person has to hear what he said. Right? Hashmei ozlecha mashatam omer. You have to hear. It's a different feeling. You have to hear what he's saying. Why is that necessary? I have to hear what I'm saying. I just can think the right thoughts. I can think what I need. And Hashem knows what I'm thinking. Why is it necessary? So there's an aspect of tefillah which is an underrated part of tefillah, which is called hakshava. Hakshava. What does that mean? Hakshava. To listen. So what else?
Consider.
Okay, pay attention. Okay, something we have a hard time doing. Okay? We have a hard time. Our generation has a very, very hard time listening. Hard time paying attention. We're 10 minutes in a shiur and we're already at our phones. Right? It's hard. It's difficult. It's a difficult thing for us to listen, to pay attention. But part of tefillah is a very, very important part of it, which we'll see in a second. Part of tefillah is actually the listening part. And that's why when we did that exercise, I wanted you to the experience of when that other person davening to listen to what he had to say. First of all, for the person to say, knowing someone else is listening, which sometimes we forget that when we pray, someone is listening. It may not be the guy next to me, but it certainly is God. That's the point, right? That's the point of it too. Someone is listening. When you said that tefillah, and that other person was sitting next to you listening to what you had to say, so you have to think about what you were saying. You have to concentrate. You have to put your words in. You want it to sound intelligent. You want it to sound like it made sense. Right? It's probably very different than a lot of our tefillahs that we do normally, where we just not even realize what we're saying, and the next thing you know, we're broken, and we're always done. So besides that understanding that someone is listening to me, which someone did, God is also obviously listening, that's the whole point. But more than that, is the element of listening to the prayer of someone else. And Rabbi Nachman, when he went to it, he said, how awesome it is to hear the tefillah of the Blaze Prayers. And Rabbi Nachman said, it would be great if you could hear it. Rabbi Nachman heard it. Personally, I don't hear it. I don't mean some of you guys do, I don't hear it. I wish I could. But there is a tefillah that we can hear. There is a tefillah that we can listen to. And which is the tefillah we can listen to? What is the tefillah we can listen to? The chazan, okay, or ourselves, our own. We can listen, we have the chazar pashas, which is another question. Why is it necessary for us to have the chazar pashas? It was understood that we repeat Shmon Esrei because many people didn't have a sitter. Today everyone has a sitter. No, everyone has a sitter or a phone, at least. So you don't need it. You don't need chazar pashas because people don't know how to pray. Everyone knows how to pray. Everyone has a sitter. Right? Okay, maybe there's some people who never know how to pray, so there's a shayla work. But today, for most of us, we know how to pray. I don't mean to hear him, but there is another aspect here. And that is, I'm listening to the prayer of the person representing all of us. To listen to him. I listen to my own, and I listen to him representing all of us. That's an important exercise. And that's why, by the way, one is not supposed to be doing anything else during Chazar Shabbos. One is not supposed to be on his phone during Chazar Shabbos. Certainly, that's obvious. Not even during Shir. but even one is not supposed to be learning during Chazar Shabbos. And you sometimes see, you know, and I myself am guilty of this sometimes. We're looking at a sefer. Wow, very holy looking sefer. Not so holy. And I can tell you my personal experience. I've forgotten anything I've learned when I learned during Chazar Shabbos. I don't remember any of it. And I just saw once when I was looking for Chazar Shabbos, I looked at it, I saw the Sefer. The point is that you're not supposed to be doing it, learning from your Rosh Hashanah. It's supposed to be actually listening to the Shnei Tzibur. Now here's the important question, fellas. Okay? Here's the important question. Why do you think this is important? Why is it important? Why is listening important? Why is paying attention to someone else, to the brother? Why do you think that it's important? Why do you think that the exercise of paying attention or paying listening to someone else is important? Why? What do you say?
A different perspective.
Someone else?
I'm kidding.
Now I'm not on my own.
Thank you. to hear what others are saying. But there's something you want to take a step deeper. And that is this amazing teaching of the Baal HaTanya. The Baal HaTanya who stands on with the Adi, the first of Baba Shirevi, and his famous sefer is called Tanya, which is Likutei Amorim, and then his less famous sefer, but is Likutei Torah. And the Likutei Torah, which you're sharing, you have it on your sheets, you have an English summary of it, written by Mordechai Kaplan, who's Rebbe Neil Torah, which you'll find in the next edition of Samanashi, this week. Here's what the Baal HaTanya says. This is very, very important. Okay, which is going to wrap up everything we've spoken about. And that is that a person, as we said, the Gemara Bracha says that a person has to actually vocalize loud enough his tefillah, even though it's tefillah b'lachash, it's a silent prayer. But you're supposed to say it loud enough so that your ears can hear what you are saying. And why is that? Why is it necessary? If I'm praying to God, why is it necessary that I hear what I am saying? So the Baal HaTanya says, because part of tefillah, and what he writes there is that the bigger part of tefillah, the most important part of tefillah, is that you listen to yourself talking to God. Because the part of you that's talking to God is your neshama, which is the real you. But our body, when you pray, don't pray from your nefesh behemis, what you call nefesh behemis, your outer soul, your something part, your outer existence part. You're not praying from your mouth and your teeth and your gums and your tongue and lips. You're praying from your neshama. You're praying from the essence of who you are. That chelek Eloka mimal, that part of God that's within you, that's where the tefillah is emanating from. And what you're doing by listening to what you're saying is that you're listening to the conversation of your neshama with its creator. And when you do that, you will connect much more deeply to your neshama and to God. To listen to yourself is to listen to your neshama. It's your neshama that's talking to Hashem. The neshama needs its nourishment. The Kuzari writes that the prayer is nourishment of the soul. Just like your body needs to nourish itself several times a day, otherwise it's starving and it's hungry and it starts to wither, so to your soul. Tefillah is the nourishment of the soul. It's the soul sort of connecting to its creator, getting its nourishment, and then it can go on. It has a source of life till the next time it eats, so to speak, the next time it prays. That's what tefillah is. So what we're trying to do is actually to listen to our neshama. That is the bigger part of tefillah. Now, let's try to bring all the pieces together. We started earlier this afternoon, we spoke about tefillah b'tzivut. We spoke about the idea that before we enter the davening, we accept upon ourselves love of our fellow man. And that's a necessary element in order to really engage in proper tefillah. Because tefillah is not just about praying for myself, it's actually about also praying about my friend. And if my friend's in trouble, I'm going to pray for him. And that what tefillah b'tzibur is supposed to be is that I'm davening for him, and for him, for him, for him, for all of us. Not just for my own things that I need, which is also an important part of tefillah. But I'm davening for others. And therefore, the tzibur is not just a random group of people, it's actually us coming together. We care about each other deeply, and so we're praying. That's what people do when they pray. When they care about somebody, they pray for them. Now, there's certain things that we all share in common. Certain things that we're all praying for. We began with share with you the Hesped, the eulogy of Rav Dov Zinger. And I'm sure every single one in this room last year, that last summer, you offered up a prayer to find those three books. Everyone at some point participated in some kind of tefillah, whether it was a gathering in your camp, or just your own watching the news and just being torn apart, or Facebook, whatever you're on, and you see these three mothers, you're hopping out to them. And we all offered a prayer together. Maybe separately, maybe in different cities, but we all share that same prayer. And so there's certain things that we collectively share. And that we're all praying for. Every single person in this room wants the terrorists to stop. Every single person in the room certainly wants anyone who's injured in those terror attacks to be healed. Every single person in this room wants Mashiach to come here. And every single person in this room acknowledges that there is one God. The God of Israel is one. And so, let's listen to each other. Shema Yisrael. Hear you Jews. Hear, listen. Listen, Israel. Let's listen to each other as we proclaim that truth. So if I can ask you all to stand up. We're going to sit together. On the count of three, we're going to say it together. Shema Yisrael. And we're going to say it trying to listen to our neshamas. Not our bodies, not our mouths, not our voices. Trying to listen to our neshama, proclaiming this truth, that neshama is connected to more than anything else. One, two, three. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. I'm going to go.